I chose Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, and started out with a thought, what could one give Jesus this Christmas? When you think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what could one really give Jesus? Are the problems in the world today so much different than it was for Mary and Joseph in the time Jesus was born? And what is there in that story of Christmas that could maybe be useful to our life now? So in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken for the entire Roman world. And what was the point of the Roman census? It was all about taxes. And it was about a government who needed money for their lavish spending. The Roman government at that time had some serious issues. If our American Republic is modeled after the Roman Republic, then could we learn from their failures? And the reality is probably true that our founding fathers, when they designed our republic, looked to the Roman government to create the structure that we have with our Senate is from their Senate, our emperor, we call him a president, same thing. And when you look at the two cultures, there's probably a lot that we could learn. In the time Jesus was born, the Roman Empire had existed for about the same amount of time as ours and really has a lot of parallels. The Senate really wasn't functioning very well, and the emperor was traveling all over the world just doing fun things, not really doing his job either. And there's a lot that could be learned if we were willing. It goes on in verse 3 to say, and everyone went to register in their own town. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee and Judea and Bethlehem to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So what was God's point in the Roman census? And God's point was to get his son born at the correct town at the perfect time. As Dan shared, it's no small event to get all of these Bible prophecies to come true exactly as they were prophesied hundreds of years before. But God used this Roman census to motivate Mary and Joseph to go, because somebody who's 9 months pregnant is probably not going to think it's the greatest idea to go on a trip uphill to visit Bethlehem. But God used it to get the thing done just the way he wanted. So what could be a point for us? Sometimes when we face discomfort or inconvenience, we may think either that we've misread God's will or God has made a mistake. And I wrote that from personal experience, because sometimes when I'm experiencing life and it's not going the way I think it should be, and it's more difficult than I think it should be, and things aren't working out the way that I think they should, I wonder whether God's made a mistake or I misread what he want me to do. But based on this story, it's obvious that this is just exactly what God wanted to happen. So in verse 6 and 7 it says, while they were there at that time, the time came for the baby to be born, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, named him Jesus, wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So Mary and Joseph have this child in essentially a stable rather than in a home. So what did Mary and Joseph give to Jesus that first Christmas? Basically, they gave love. And could we do any better than that? If we were going to try to give Jesus a gift, is there anything better that we could give than loving him, being amazed by him? God did not soften Joseph's bumpy road, but he strengthened him by the trip. He strengthened him by it. God didn't provide a luxurious inn for Mary, but brought his son into the world in humble surroundings. So when you and I look at our lives, oftentimes I think what's going on is God is strengthening us by what's going on. And he wants us to be identified with the humility of his son. Excuse me. There were shepherds living out in the flocks nearby, keeping their watch on their flocks at night. So what was God's point by revealing his nudes to these of his son to these shepherds on the night shift? My first couple Christmases being married to Julie, I worked the night shift either at the steel mill or the second year walking around a container of biological weapons, guarding them on Christmas Eve. And night shift on Christmas is a very lonely place to be, and it's a very humbling thing to be working the night shift on Christmas Eve. These shepherds were very special. Tradition says that these lambs that they watched were the ones that were supplied for the temple sacrifices to be performed for the forgiveness of sins. So what was God's point to us is that Jesus is the perfect lamb given for our sins to be forgiven. And so when we think of Jesus as Christmas, we think of him in a manger, we think of him as a lamb that is going to be sacrificed for our sins to be forgiven. God's offering us this gift. But like any gift, one must receive it and then use it as it's designed. The forgiveness is something that's available and something that we can resource. But it's something just like a Christmas gift. You have to take it, open it, use it the way it's designed. It goes on in verse 9 to say, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and it terrified them. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. It's the Messiah, the Lord. God is declaring with great joy the Savior of the world to all the people. So, have you personally accepted this Messiah, this Savior, as your Lord? Doesn't matter what the shepherds did with it. Doesn't matter what Mary and Joseph did. Doesn't matter what happened in those times. What really matters is what you do with the Messiah. Have you resourced his forgiveness of sins? Have you opened this gift of him being your Messiah, your Savior, your Lord? That's what's critical. In verse 12, it goes on to say, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth, peace to whom his favor rests. God is giving peace on earth to those whose favor his favor rests. So this peace is obviously not based on circumstances, looking at the text, because going to a strange town, having a baby in a manger, in a stable, not being well cared for, having to go pay taxes, it's obviously not a peaceful setting. So what if we focused our attention on seeking God instead of the things of this world? Would that give peace? In our Christmas season, in our culture, it's hubbub, it's hectic, it's waiting in lines, it's people being nasty in the lines. It's not the world's things that give peace. What if our to-do list included surrendering our want list to the Holy Spirit? There are things that I want to be different than they are. And it disturbs the peace in my life because I don't put the to-do list of surrendering those things to God. I want what I want. I want it the way that I want. If I would be willing to surrender those things, I think I would have peace in my life. I don't know exactly what it is on your list that you want that's different than the way it is, but I believe if we would surrender those things to the Holy Spirit, we personally would have more peace. What if we poked our attention on serving Jesus by serving others? Would that bring peace? What if we would do that from a humble, loving heart? Would that give peace? I think we would find that it did. In verse 15, then when the angels left, they had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, excuse me, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about. So the shepherds were willing to get up and go. And what will you do? What will you do this Christmas with this story? So they hurried off, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had seen and been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed by the shepherds and what they said to him. So what does God want this Christmas? Could it really be as easy as just experiencing his story and telling the story of what God's done? Could it really be that simple that that's what he wants this Christmas? That he want us to love him, receive his experience of forgiveness, receive his son as Savior, and then talk to other people about it? I think it is that easy. I think that's really what he wants.